171 years ago, a group of people gathered here in faith to covenant with each other to form the First Congregational Church of Wauwatosa. And what a wonderful Sunday to celebrate, too, the efforts of people like Tony and Lisa Rambo, who are building their church on the same foundation of faith in Jesus Christ, as did the founders of this church. We are here to encourage and support these young church planters in their efforts, even as we build upon the foundation that has been laid for us here in Wauwatosa. Back in the 1980s, Mayor Koch used to begin all of his press conferences with the now infamous line, "How am I doing?" This would also work for us this morning. We need to ask ourselves, how are we doing? There is an immediate reason at hand for us to ask this question today. In your mailbox this week, you should have received a pledge card for the coming year. And pledge time is always a good time to ask pertinent questions about how and where and why we as a congregation are doing, and where we are in this moment of time and history. A congregation is a community of faith in which people have made a covenant with God and with each other. In some ways, we are much like a family. We have a unique opportunity to learn how to live with people that we didn't choose, but are given to us by the grace of God. Our fidelity and our faithfulness to those we are given is a powerful reminder to us of the faithfulness of God, a God who sticks with us no matter what happens in our lives. Well, the Apostle Paul reminded the Corinth congregation of such faithfulness in our reading today, as he urged the people to agree with each other and pleaded that there be no dissension among them, but that they be united in the same mind and judgment for the sake of Jesus Christ. It's good to remember his words today, not because we want everyone to agree on everything. In this congregation, that would be tragic, if not impossible. There is, however, a unity that exists within our diversity here. Paul's words serve as a reminder to us of what's most important to any congregation's existence and identity. To remember that we are the manifestation of the body of Christ on earth. We can be different in background. We can be different in our upbringing. We have different reasons for coming to church and possess a variety of beliefs and theologies. But in Paul's words, we all belong to Christ. When we remember who we are, through baptism, through confession, through worship, then anything can happen here. When we are gathered as the body of Christ, something can be at work that is not of our own making. In short, miracles can happen. 2 and 2 can equal 5, and forgiveness and acceptance can be felt. The Spirit of God can hover among us with sighs too deep for words. Laughter can be heard. And hope can be expressed and experienced in invisible and tangible ways. Sorrow and grief can be carried for one another, and even transformed into deep joy. We can share a passion for justice and the human instinct for peace. It can be expressed and multiplied when a community like you truly lives out their love for God and commitment to be the body of Christ. Now, I know of no other human experience that is as gratifying and as whole-making as when people are truly committed to living as the body of Christ in human community. At our best, with our deepest desires, and even at our worst, this is what we're attempting to do here at First Congregational Church. And it is with this deep conviction of our love for God and our desire to be Christ's presence that we turn our attention to the pledge that you're being asked to make. For those of you who might be visiting with us today, think of this as a family getting together and figuring out what they can afford to do next year. In this family, we are blessed. We wish to maintain much of what we have done in the past, but we have a desire to vision and dream for a future that is before us. This is good news because I believe we're a church that can participate in this new world that surrounds us, rather than merely holding on to the past or present glories. Our pledges represent our hopes. They represent our dreams. And it's a time now to step out and take a few risks. Back in the 1980s when I was beginning my ministry, I was very fond of a church consultant, nationally renowned church consultant by the name of Lyle Schaller. And he has written that congregations who are not only surviving, but are thriving, are those who are willing to take risks and be open to innovation, be open to creativity and new ideas and change. He called upon congregations to remember that tomorrow will not be a carbon copy of yesterday. So we as the church in this country must design new ministries to reach out, to create new communities within communities. I believe this year is one where we must have a willingness to dream for a new time. There are significant challenges in the world that we must respond to. The first, I think, goal that we have as a church is the emphasis on continuing the positive directions of our Christian education and youth programs. This is a new generation that walks through our doors. With the challenges of the changing world, we have to invest our time, our resources in passing along the Christian faith. There's a whole new generation that responds to different things. The second challenge for us, and this might be our greatest, is to accept and appreciate the wonderful foundation that has been laid for us in this church. But at the same time, stop ourselves from simply trying to recapture the past. You are an amazing people with amazing talents, and we need to begin to think creatively about ministry to this new generation. Last week, I had the opportunity to gather with 12 leaders of the Congregational Foundation. Now, the Congregational Foundation is a group of individuals that seeks to promote and preserve the congregational way through financial support of our national association. Part of what we did in our time together was we looked at trends in the Christian church and the congregational church in particular. And it scared me to death. The trends of church attendance and church membership and the diminishing financial resources would suggest the church is on its way out. If we continue to try the same old things in the same old way and somehow expect different results, we're simply fooling ourselves. The final challenge that lies before us as we consider these pledges for next year is to not only seek to maintain the quality of worship, but to grow that vital part of our life together as we reach out to this new world. The music ministry here at First Congregational Church is truly a source of pride. We're blessed to have an amazing group of outstanding musicians here who share not only their talents, but their faith through their music. We are doing so much with music now, and even more is possible. Our commitment to reaching out through music is as vital as it can be as we move forward. Now is the time for this church to take some risks, to invest in the future, to build on this great foundation we have been blessed with. We're engaged in a challenging time that threatens the church's existence. And there comes a time, though, in the life of any organization, including the church, when taking these kinds of bold steps is an investment for the future. And I believe that we have reached this juncture in our life together. As you fill in your pledge card, you're being asked to consider our future in terms of our commitment to our dreams. Personally, I've been nurturing this little tiny seed of hope. I have hope for the future of this church. When I look at you and the things that you do, I'm inspired. I pray that the pledges we will make will reflect this confident desire to step out in faith. The same way this young couple has. Trying new directions, investing in building a future for our children and for those who have not yet had the gospel in their lives. And I pray you will invest in that too. Theologian Philip Brooks affirmed that the ever-living Christ is the never-dying church. That's an astounding claim. And today we have a real challenge and a call to respond to the ever-living God in this never-dying church. I know you will. Amen.
Good morning. I only speak infrequently, but I'm compelled to share something with you this morning. We are about to sing a piece that is a brief setting excerpted from Psalm 43. Excuse me. And we all know about the book of Psalms and how it's this magnificent song book. But it goes so much farther than that. In a few moments, we quote the psalmist who says, "Like as the hart or the young deer desires the water brook, so longs my soul after thee." And it's one thing to consider the imagery that the poet sets forth. But this morning we sing these words set to the majesty and the mystery and the magic of the British composer Herbert Howells, a composer who lived and worked in England during World War II. And think for a moment what happened in that time and at that place during World War II. And Howells quotes this. "As you listen to it this morning, I would invite you to hear the impassioned music of Herbert Howells. I can't explain Herbert Howells to you. I can't explain Herbert Howells to anyone. I can just tell you that it is a treasure of clairvoyance into these texts. Like as the heart.